Well, good morning. You must be very lucky because you get me twice in 2 weeks. I'm just kidding. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I hope, even if it was a little not normal like ours was, I hope it was still great and you made memories and you just thought of things that you were thankful for. And for me, I was thankful for technology because even though our family was not with us, throughout the day, we were able to FaceTime and do all those things. And so it was a great day, even though it was not normal, if that makes sense. So we're thankful that you're here. We're thankful if you're watching online. This morning, we are actually starting a new series this morning that will be running through December. And I have to give a shout out to Russell because he gave me a bunch of my notes. So a lot of what I'll be saying today is some of his thoughts and some of my thoughts all combined into one, which is kind of scary in a sense that I was able to figure that all out. But again, we're thankful that you're here and we're ready to get started. If it's convenient, I would love for you to stand as we read a text from Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 is where we are going to be this morning. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. You can be seated. This morning, as I said, we are starting a new series, and we are starting our Advent season. You know, it's kind of remarkable to think that we just got done, right? Just a couple of days ago with Thanksgiving, and now our minds already go towards Christmas. We start thinking about Christmas. The word Advent means the arrival of someone notable. Someone notable. It means someone important is on their way. Spoiler alert, that's Jesus. Hopefully we all know that. Advent is a season when we are reminded that we're not celebrating something, but someone. We're not celebrating, we're not celebrating something, but we're celebrating someone. It's easy to forget that, isn't it, during Christmas? It's very easy to forget that. But this difference matters because when you get ready to celebrate something, the preparation is usually all about you and what you want to experience. But when you're ready to celebrate someone, the preparation is about so much more than you. It's about someone else. If you're that type of person that loves to give back and you love to do things for other people, you get this to a T. Because it's so much, if you're that type of person, you just enjoy it so much to celebrate for someone else instead of yourself. But what is happening in this text, what we're seeing in this text are, these are the last days of how things have always been. These are the last days, and God is doing a remarkable new thing. Through the incarnation, God has come to dwell with us and in us. In the person of Jesus, we see a new way to relate with God and with others. In Jesus, we know both what it means to challenge the status quo and what it means to be forgiven. But we still have a long way to go. We have been told over and over and over and over that the kingdom of God has come into our midst. In that respect, the coming of the kingdom of God can be seen as coming soon, and that it will come soon. Even though the kingdom of God is in our midst, we still have to wait. And I'm getting ready to see I just said the key word. We still have to wait. Think about that. For its fulfillment. We see in this text a parable about a fig tree, and I want to look at it again in Mark chapter 13, 28 through 31. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that it is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken a place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. In this short parable about a fig tree, really what we need to be focusing on, what you need to see in this text, is not the end, but we should be focusing on the beginning. The beginning. This fig tree offers hope of that eventually the Son of Man will come. Jesus is telling his disciples that when these things begin to happen, they will happen quickly. In the verses that remain in this chapter, the Lord goes on to warn his followers not to get distracted by trying to figure out the exact time of things, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen. He lets them know that even though he himself knows, he lets them know that not even himself, that's what I was trying to say, not even himself knows the time appointed for his return. And that the exact time is known only by the Father. What they were to do instead was to be faithful to his call, work and walk faithfully in his service, and watch, and here's the key word, wait for his return. Here's the big problem. The big problem is, who likes to wait for anything? Can we all agree with that? Waiting is not fun. We live in a world where we do not, for the most part, have to wait. It's kind of an expectation that we don't have to wait. This is what Advent is, though. Advent is a time of anticipation and waiting. But it should not be a time of idle waiting. Advent is not the time where we hear the message, I'm coming soon, and we say, oh, that's great, then I'm going to step back and I'm going to wait. This passage is taken from Mark's version of Jesus' final discourse. See, this is Jesus' last extended talk with his followers before his arrest and his execution. First century Jews had been waiting centuries for the coming of the Messiah. And while our waiting is different, we still await the arrival once again of the Messiah. Waiting has an effect on our lives. Waiting can get old. Waiting can get tedious. After waiting long enough, we can forget what we are waiting on and go back to whatever it is we were doing. I've caught myself doing that many, many times. Who likes to wait for anything? I mean, imagine the first century Jew living under the Roman occupation. Waiting is something they had been doing for centuries. In between different empires occupying their land, the people have been waiting for the promise of the prophets, the promise of Isaiah. If you want to read about that, you can go to Isaiah 64, 1 through 9 and read that later. But the promise of Isaiah that God would redeem the people and bring them out of their hardships. They are the people who like the child, waiting for their family to come so they could open up their presents. They, like the child, have been standing next to the window with their faces pressed against the glass, wondering when it will begin. If you're a parent, you understand, especially when you have kids, how hard it is to have to wait for something, especially something that they want. I never have that problem, never. But in a society that pushes for the brand new and what we can get right now, we are no longer accustomed to waiting for anything. Society has given us a click of the button, and it's here. In some cases, I can actually, and I've done this many times, and I'm sure maybe you have too, I can actually order something off Amazon and get it the same day. Waiting is now seen as tedious. It's a laborious task, an artifact of another time. Tom Petty from The Waiting says this, "The waiting is the hardest part. Every day, you get one more yard. You take it on faith. You take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part." The thing about waiting is, Tom Petty is right. It gets harder and harder by the minute, hour, day, year, decade, and century. As we wait for things to get somewhat normal with COVID, it gets older and older, doesn't it? It gets difficult. Maybe you're like me, if I'm honest, there's been many, many times where I'm just like, I'm done with 2020. I don't want to wait anymore. Can we just fast forward? Can we move on? Waiting can lull us into a type of sleepwalking. You know, where you just go through the motions of life. Where everything, it's just, you're not really thinking about it. You're just doing it. I like to refer to this as the part of, I have the same routine every morning when I wake up. And if you think real hard, you probably do too. And it's one of those things that honestly, you could probably do it in a sleepwalk. You know exactly what it is. You don't really have to think about it. It's the same routine every morning. The world and all of its devices draw us into sleepwalking. Through our spiritual life and moves, our focus toward the world's ways. In the end, we forget what we were really waiting for. We forget why we would wait in the first place. Our lives become about something else, even waiting for something else. We are just not excited about that which we have been waiting forever for. We get fatigued, tired head from all the waiting. And this year has been a year of waiting and getting tired, hasn't it? We see it all around us in our social media feeds, in the news reels at night, whether it be about COVID or the election. And surely we're waiting for the end. The reading today comes as a bit of a shock, and really it should grab your attention, and I hope it does grab your attention, because it's not a typical passage we think of when moving into the Christmas season, right? If you think about it, when we're moving into the Christmas season, maybe you're thinking about family, maybe you're thinking about decorating your house, maybe you're thinking about presents and who you need to buy for, or who you haven't bought for yet, or maybe it's one of those where if you're a husband like me, you're like, what do I even get my wife because she's so hard to buy for? That's typical, right? But that's not where our focus should be. All those things are great and fun, but that's not where our focus should be. It's not the typical passage we think of when moving into the Christmas season. As one writer states, Andrew Collins, Mark's apocalyptic predictions of the arrival of Messiah prevent the church from sliding into the pagan comforts of the pre-Christmas season. The Messiah's return is going to rock the world and your life. Get ready. He's not talking about Christmas presents. He's not talking about the Christmas tree. It's a good time for us to remember what apocalypse means, and it means unveiling. Mark is using the story of Jesus. This story of Jesus is unveiling in our lives just what and how we are waiting for the coming of the Messiah. It is kind of like a jolt, confronting us about our focus and where our focus might have been all these years and maybe even into 2020. You see, it has gotten easy to even go through the motions of the arrival of the Messiah in a manger. We might not even look forward to it because we know that this is the season of Christmas, which for better or worse has kind of become more of a consumer holiday, more than an anticipation moment. We wait for the presence more than the Redeemer of the world. If that is our outlook on this season, we are wrong. Our perceptions are off. As we see in verse 33, we should keep alert. In Mark 13, 33, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It sometimes appears that Christians seem to think since the time of Jesus coming cannot be known, we need to not think much about it. Mark draws the opposite conclusion. Since the timing is not known, we should think about it all the time. As Christians, we might think, since the time is unknown, it could be 100 or thousands or more years from now, so why bother? Mark draws a different conclusion. Since the timing is unknown, it could be today, maybe tomorrow, it could be any time. So in verse 33, it is clear that Jesus does not intend for us to predict his return. He would rather for us to be on guard, to keep awake, be waiting, as if his return is right around the corner. So this passage of Mark 13 does what it needs to do as we read verse 35. It says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. This verse, it should waken your senses. It reminds us that everything we might be waiting for in the world pales in comparison to the revival or arrival of Jesus. So my hope is that you'll ponder and you'll ask yourself these questions. One, how do we wait for the Lord? You know, many people wait with fear and apprehension about many things over which they have no control. I've been guilty of that in 2020. Can I just say that? If we do our best, as broken and incomplete as we are, to prepare now for Jesus coming at the end of time, there is no need to be fearful or worry. But we must make every effort to respond to God's call now, so that if the Lord's arrival is forecast, we need to know that maybe there's nothing we need to change in our lives. Two, is my trust in God adequately strong that I can demonstrate patience in my day-to-day actions? Has anybody ever prayed for patience? My wife's not here, but sometime you should ask her about when she prayed for patience. Although you'll get this response, I'll never pray for patience again. Patience is hard, isn't it, though? Whether you pray for it or not, patience can be difficult. Patience is a virtue which for many of us does not come easily. As the expression goes, grant me patience, Lord, and give it to me today. Being patient is an important form of watchfulness. It says that we are prepared now but can wait until the Lord comes. Here's the third question I want you to ask yourself. What responsibility do we have to assist others in the readiness of the Lord? I think this one's important. What responsibility do we have to assist others in the readiness of the Lord? You know, discipleship asks many things of us, including the need to reach others. We cannot be satisfied that we have prepared ourselves and left others to their own desires. If we have the ability to be present, to give advice, to offer a meal, to show the love and the story of Jesus to others, then as God's people, we must act. I think that's one thing, if I can say one thing that 2020 has taught me. 2020 has taught me that there are people we can serve. We just have to open our eyes and look for those opportunities. The last question I want you to ask yourself: what preparations are necessary in your life to be fully ready for the coming of the Lord? We all need to take the time as we are waiting to figure out what we need to do in our personal spiritual lives to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to ask questions like, who am I? What does God ask of me? If God calls me this day, am I ready? Or is there unfinished business that I need to attend? We must do our best to feel secure in the presence of the Lord each day of our lives. I say this to say this. I think waiting becomes a little bit easier if we're actually preparing for what it is we're waiting for, right? If we're waiting and sitting idle, it's going to be harder. But if we're actually preparing for what it is we're waiting for, it might be a little bit easier. Advent is the time of actively waiting. As we are waiting, why not work through those four things? It is also the time for watchfulness and preparations. The baby is coming soon. God will be with us soon. The kingdom is in our midst. The goal of all these Advent end time stories isn't to give us a specific timeline of events or to get our focus so far off of an event that it is to happen soon, but for us to realize and to understand that the kingdom of God is here. That the kingdom of God is here. In Advent, let us keep awake and watchful for those times and systems that continue to create that. In Advent, let us prepare to proclaim God's love for all people, looking for those that we can serve, looking for those that we can help. In Advent, let us be willing to live into the last days of the way things have always been by preparing to live into the first days of the kingdom realized. Meaning, let's live every day as if maybe this might be our last day. Waiting may be hard, but there's one thing we don't have to wait on. There's one thing that you and I in our lives, we don't have to wait on. Thing we don't have to wait on is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? We don't have to wait on that. As I think about waiting and how I don't like to wait, what I've realized more and more as I've looked at this text this week is that sometimes I think we overcomplicate waiting. Especially when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Because the thing about with our relationship with Christ and what I understand now and what I've kind of seen through this text and what my mind has been telling me is that when it comes to our relationship, you want to know who's waiting? Christ. He's the one waiting. And all he's saying is, Justin, just come. Your life doesn't have to be perfect. Your life doesn't have to be a pretty picture. I want you the way you are. And I want you now. And so waiting may be hard, but there's one thing we don't have to wait on, and that's baptism. And I don't know, maybe this morning you have realized you have waited way too long. You have realized that you've waited too long to have a commitment with Christ. You've realized that there's just been certain things that have been getting in your way. Maybe it's things of the world. But here's the deal. This is a church that no matter what it looks like, we would love to walk alongside of you in that. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're saying, I'm tired of waiting. I'm ready to have a relationship with Christ. We want to do that for you. Maybe this morning you need the prayers of this church. You need the prayers of us as a congregation. We would love for you to do that too. But here's the thing I want you to know in this Advent season. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Waiting is just one thing. It's a big thing, but it's only part of the whole story, right? And so my hope as we're going through these next several weeks that you will dig into the Christmas story. Share it with your kids. Sit down and read with them. Talk about what it is we're truly waiting for, because some kids, they may think we're waiting for Christmas, right? And presents. But that's not it. We're waiting for Christ to return. If you have anything that you need, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?